ஓம் பத்ரங்கண்ணே பிஷ்ருநுயாமதேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுபாகம்ஸஸ்தனுபிஹ வ்யஷேமதேவஹிதையதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்த்ரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஓகே, லெட் அஸ் ரீட் ஆல் தோஸ் மந்த்ரஸ், வெரி நைஸ் மந்த்ரஸ். த்விதீய முண்டகே த்விதீய கண்டஹ. ஆபிசன்னிஹிதங்குஹாசரன்நாம மகத்பதமத்ரைதத்சமர்ப்பிதம் ஏஜத் ப்ராணன் நிமிஷச்ச யதேதஜ்ஜானத சதசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம் யதர்ச்சிமத்யதனுப்யோனுச்ச யஸ்மில்லோகானிஹிதாலோகினஸ்ச ததேததக்ஷரம் ப்ரஹ்ம சப்ராணஸ்ததுவாங்மனஹ ததேதத் சத்யம் ததம்ருதம் தத்வேத்தவ்யம் சௌம்யவித்தி. தனுர்க்ருஹீத்வௌபநிஷதம் மஹாஸ்த்ரம் ஷரம் ஹ்யுபாஸானிஷிதம் சந்தயீத ஆயம்ய தத் பாவகதேன சேதஸா லக்ஷ்யம் ததேவாக்ஷரம் சௌம்யவித்தி. ப்ரணவோ தனுஷரோ ஹ்யாத்மா ப்ரஹ்ம தல்லக்ஷ்யமுச்யதே அப்ரமத்தேன வேத்தவ்யம் ஷரவத்தன்மயோ பவேத். யஸ்மின் த்யௌஃ ப்ருதிவீ சாந்தரிக்ஷம் ஓதம் மனஸ் ஸஹ ப்ராணைஶ்ச ஸர்வைஹி தமேவைகம் ஜானத ஆத்மானம் அன்யாவாசோ விமுஞ்சத அம்ருதஸ்யைஷ சேதுஹ. அராயிவரதநாபோ சம்ஹதா யத்ர நாட்யஹ சயேஷோந்தஸ்சரதே பஹுதா ஜாயமானஹ ஓமித்யேவம் த்யாயத ஆத்மானம் ஸ்வஸ்திவஃ பாராய தமஸஃ பரஸ்தாத் யஸ் ஸர்வஜ்ஞஃ ஸர்வவித் யஸ்யைஷ மஹிமா புவி திவ்யே ப்ரஹ்மபுரே ஹ்யேஷ வ்யோம்ன்யாத்மா ப்ரதிஷ்டிதஃ. மனோமயஃ ப்ராணஶரீரநேதா ப்ரதிஷ்டிதோன்னே ஹ்ருதயம் சந்நிதாய தத்விஜ்ஞானேன பரிபஷ்யந்தி தீராஹ. ஆனந்தரூபமம்ருதம் யத்விபாதி பித்யதே ஹ்ருதய க்ரந்திஹ சித்யந்தே ஸர்வசம்ஷயாஹ க்ஷீயந்தே சாஸ்ய கர்மாணி தஸ்மின் த்ருஷ்டே பராவரே. ஹிரண்மயே பரே கோஷே விரஜம் ப்ரஹ்ம நிஷ்கலம் தச்சுப்ரம் ஜோதிஷாஞ்சோதிஹி தச்சுப்ரம் ஜோதிஷாஞ்சோதிஹி தத்யதாத்மவிதோ விதுஹ நதத்ர சூர்யோ பாதி நசந்திர தாரகம் நேவா வித்யுதோ பாந்தி குதோயம் அக்னி தமேவ பாந்தமனுபாதி சர்வம் தஸ்ய பாசா சர்வமிதம் விபாதி ப்ரஹ்மைவேதமம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் ப்ரஹ்ம பஶ்சாத் ப்ரஹ்ம தக்ஷிணத்தஸ்சோத்தரேண ப்ரஹ்மைவேதமம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் ப்ரஹ்ம ப்ரஹ்மைவேதமம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் ப்ரஹ்ம பஶ்சாத் ப்ரஹ்ம தக்ஷிணத்தஸ்சோத்தரேண அதஶ்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் ப்ரஹ்மைவேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஹ்மைவேதமம்ருதம் ப்ரஹ்மைவேதமம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் ப்ரஹ்ம பஶ்சாத் ப்ரஹ்ம தக்ஷிணத்தஶ்சோத்தரேண அதஶ்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் அதஶ்சோர்த்வம் ச பிரசுதம் ப்ரஹ்மை வேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம் அதஸ்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் ப்ரஹ்மை வேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஹ்மை வேதம் அம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் ப்ரஹ்ம பஸ்சாத் ப்ரஹ்ம தக்ஷிணதஸ்சோத்தரேண அதஸ்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் ப்ரஹ்மை வேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம். சோ முண்டகோபனிஷதி த்விதீய முண்டகே த்விதீய கண்டஹ இஸ் கம்ப்ளீட்டட் ஹியர். ஆல் மந்த்ராஸ் ஆர் ஓவர். யூ டு சீ தோஸ் தி ஃபலஸ்ருதி. அண்ட் பிஃபோர் வி கோ தர் தி கன்க்ளூடிங் மந்த்ரா விச் யூ ஹவ் சீன், that today is very auspicious and it's a Bhanu Saptami, Ratha Saptami today, and you cannot do a better prayer. This is the best mantra to be recited today. This is the mantra, in fact, which is a mantra, you must remember the meaning and you must be reciting this mantra all the time. This is the mantra. So this 12th mantra with which the second section of the second chapter of Mundakopanishad ends, this concluding mantra is in fact a very highly profound mantra. In Swamiji's language, this mantra presents the climax of the entire Upanishadic teaching. Of course, every mantra in this section is a very profound mantra. Especially, Tatatra Suryo Bhati and the mantras before presented before, all those mantras, towards the end, all the mantras are actually highly profound mantras. In fact, these mantras just present the swarupam of the whole jagat. When I say swarupam, essential nature of the entire jagat. What this entire cosmos can be reduced to. Even though for us the world is a world of countless, world of plurality and multiplicity of objects, and this whole jagat can be reduced to finally five elements. And those five elements again can be reduced to one matter. And even one grass matter can be reduced to energy. And that again can be reduced to what? That further you cannot reduce it to anymore. That is the abstract, formless reality. Inexplicable reality. Imperceptible reality, inconceivable reality, indescribable reality. And what is the word we can say? You do arrive at it. You do arrive at it. Shastram does help you to distinguish and to arrive at it. But what word can be used? And you arrive at it as the swarupam of the knower. Because you distinguish the knower from the known. And the objective universe, which comes under the category of the known, is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex. Your physical body, mind, sense complex, the whole material aspect of the individual also becomes included as the part of the objective universe. And what cannot be included in the universe is the experiencer knower. And then after excluding everything as the object, what cannot be included in the world objective universe is the experiencer alone. And if you search for the experiencer, there's no form available. There's no form available. There's only abstractness. There's just the formlessness. There's inexplicable swarupam. And that you have to give some name and you arrive at it as the, in terms of its nature of knowing. And that gets the qualification of being the knower experiencer. From the standpoint of the known, there is known, that known presupposes the knower. The objective universe presupposes the subject of experience, and that experiencer, knower, is another than the reality. And if you ask, why does it know? Because knowing is the Swarupam. Therefore, you give the name Jnanam or Chaitanyam in terms of its nature of knowing. Even the word Jnanam or Chaitanyam, consciousness or knowledge are the words refer to conscious reality in terms of its nature of being conscious, being aware, knowing. And that reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness means what? Absolutely formless, divisionless. Consciousness is the one secondless, non-dual, all-pervasive reality which is free from all limitations, which is beyond, which is free from time, space, object limitations. And that consciousness alone is implied by the term Brahman. And that consciousness is all pervasive and is obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual. Therefore, it is implied by the term Purushaha. Purushaha. And that as the person, the only person, which pervades everything, which obtains as the innermost essence of every being, as the content of I, truth of I, where the I should be resolved. And that's what, that truth is what is implied by the term Brahma. And then if you see that that alone is Satyam, other than that formless abstract reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, everything else is Mithya. Time is Mithya, space is Mithya, all the objects perceptible through sense organs are Mithya. Every form is Mithya. Mithya means everything, nothing has existence of its own. Everything, the entire material world is dependent on consciousness to become the known, to become illumined. Thereby to have the status of being existent is dependent on consciousness. That is why it doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, this material world, matter, is not countable as a second parallel reality. Therefore, we say Mithya. And Mithya is subject to change, constantly undergoing changes. There is a time it is available for knowledge. There's a time it disappears. And therefore, and always without arriving, without departing, that which is there as the knower of waking universe, dream universe, and the unmanifest universe is like the witness, is his pure consciousness. That is what is Brahma. Vishnu is saying, Brahman, I am that Brahman. Therefore, all the T series Brahma, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. In fact, Aham Idam Sarvam, I am Brahman, therefore I am the whole. Okay, the whole Jagat is Brahma, I am Brahman, therefore I am the whole. This must be the clear vision. Therefore, unless you place I am the ultimate, absolute light of awareness, consciousness, then the I sense is shifted intellectually from the body, mind, and complex to the consciousness. Therefore, I, the consciousness, am alone, always illumining all the thoughts, all emotions, all the mind, all the sense organs, all the bodies, and the world also. Therefore, I, the consciousness, am the ultimate absolute illuminator. And everything else other than me is what? The illumined. And the illumined is non-separate from the illuminator. We should say illumined is nothing but manifestation of the illumining consciousness. Illumined world, the known world of objects inclusive of body, mind, sense complex is the manifestation, reflection of the illumining, knowing consciousness, reality. Therefore, when you say, I am the illuminator, I am the Atma, and other than consciousness, whatever is here is what? Known is matter. And we may have a doubt. There are two aspects. One is Atma aspect, another is Anatma aspect. So there is a consciousness and there is matter. Aren't there two things? Isn't there dvaitam? Isn't there duality? There are two. That is why it must become very clear. Even though there seem to be two, they're not two. Consciousness and matter are not two aspects. Nor are they one. Are they one? No, they're not one. Are they two? They're not two. That is why na dvaitam is what? Advaitam. Na dvaitam, advaitam. Why they are not two? They are two orders of the same reality, satyam and mithya. It means the mithya is a thing but appearance of the satyam. This also must become very clear. There is neither cause nor is the effect. Therefore, there is no duality. There is no knower, there is no known other than consciousness. The knower is consciousness, known is consciousness, knowledge is consciousness. Cause is consciousness, effect also is consciousness. And the experiencer, all experiences, the transactions and the utility, everything is consciousness. Therefore, there is no second thing at all. Therefore, even though the world is available for experiences, even though the world is available for transaction, even though the world is available for utility, enjoyment, still everything is mithya. In spite of being available for experience, transaction, utility, it is only an appearance, non-substantial forms and names, appearance of Brahman alone. What is there is only Brahma. Therefore, that is why this mantra says, Sarvam Brahmamayam. Brahmaivedam Amrutam. Purastat. Amrutam is what? Brahman is the only substance. Brahma eva idam Amrutam means, idam, this whole jagat is of the only one substance. World is a substantive. Substance is the consciousness implied by the term Brahman. Ocean is the substantive. Substance is the water. There's no substance called ocean. Water is substance. There's no substance called ocean. Similarly here, jagat is the substantive and only substance, only saraha, only essence is consciousness Brahman. And that Brahman alone, Purastat, is in front. Brahma eva Purastat. So Amrita means what? The only essence, the only existence, only truth, only substance of the substantive universe is Brahman, obtaining in the form of consciousness existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Brahma eva Purastat, in front of, in front, what is in front is Brahman. Brahma eva paschat. What is behind is Brahman. Dakshinataha cha. And what is on the right is Brahman. Uttarena. And what is on the left is Brahman. And adaha cha urdhvam cha prasrutam. Adaha, down below. What is down below is Brahman. And what is up above is Brahman. Urdham adaha. Up above, down below. Everything, whatever is here, there is only Brahman. Prasrutam. Brahman alone is in and through. There, spreading, pervading everything as everything. Therefore, and if you remember, the fourth Bhagavad, the 24th verse of 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi, ब्रह्माग्नौ ब्रह्मणाहुतम् ब्रह्मैव तेन गन्तव्यम् ब्रह्म कर्म समाधिना. Okay, that verse is in fact very, that Bhagavad Gita verse is, can be referred to as the meaning of this mantra, and this mantra can be referred to as the meaning of that verse. I mean, what it says is there's nothing other than Brahman. In fact, we don't even say there's no second thing other than Brahman, non-dual. There's no second countable thing other than Brahman. If we take the ocean, you can't say water is one thing, ocean is second thing. You can't say water and the ocean, you cannot say. If I ask you, showing the ocean, what do you see? You can't say, I see water and the ocean. But and can be used only if there are two things. You can say, I see only water in the form of ocean full of waves. Similarly, I see all that is as only Brahman in the form of innumerable countless forms and names which constitute this universe. And then, so Brahma eva dakshinataha, Brahma eva uttarena, Brahma eva adaha, Brahma yena urdham. Adascha urdham cha prasrutam, pervading everything, Brahman alone is. And idam varishtham. Varishtham means what? Varaha itself, superior. The most superior. The greatest. The most exalted absolute. So, varishtham idam brahma. It means, there's nothing beyond, nothing other than, nothing greater than, nothing other than. That's a very important word. Nothing beyond. Beyond everything, what is Brahman? There's nothing beyond Brahman. Brahman is the absolute, ultimate, greatest, the most exalted, most superior. Therefore, varishtham, this word is a post superlative degree. That word is an expression of superlative degree. Varishtham, Brahman alone appears as this universe. Therefore, If Upanishad says this is the mantra finished, but what is that lesson we must learn from this mantra? In fact, we are expected to learn to claim that Brahman as one's own Swarupam. Only then the mantra serves the purpose. Okay? In fact, I am the truth, I am the whole. Many Upanishads beautifully present so many mantras similar to these mantras. So wise person cannot say what is there is Brahman. He can say all that is there is my own, myself. I am the whole. That will be the ultimate vision of a wise person. That must become our vision also. Therefore, so, if I discover this truth, what will happen? What is the benefit of attaining this clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one's own self being the whole? In terms of Brahman, Atma, consciousness. That is said in the next, the Palashruti. We'll go back to the Palashruti now. Bhidyate hridaya granthihi, bhidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante bhidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante, sorry, bhidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante sarva samshayaha, kshiyante chasya karmani, tasmin drishte paravare, bhidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante sarva samshayaha, kshiyante chasya karmani, tasmin drishte paravare. So, it is said, தஸ்மின் திருஷ்டே பராவரே. சதிசப்தமி. When that absolute reality, Paravaram Brahma, Paravaram Sansar Brahman, when that absolute reality, Paravaram Brahma, is clearly seen, seen means not as an object, Tasmin Drishte, when that absolute reality, Paravaram Brahman, is clearly recognized as one's own Swarupam, not as an object, thereby when the reality is clearly seen as the whole, then what happens to the person? He is a wise person. What happens to this person? Then sarva asya karmani kshiyante. First of all, vidyate hridaya granthihi. Tasmin paravare drishte. When that absolute reality is clearly recognized as one's own Swarupam, and in the light of that one light knowledge of one's own Swarupam, when a person can see the whole Jagat being the same reality, in the light of the same knowledge, when a person recognizes there's no Bhagavan other than that reality, when a person recognizes the fact in the light of the knowledge of one's own self, in the wake of the knowledge, clear vision of the self, when a person understands that only truth, the truth is the only truth of Jiva Jagat Ishvara, all the three, then Hridaya Granthihi Vidyate. Hridaya Granthihi, Granthihi is a Strilinga Shabda, which means knot. There's a knot in the heart. Heart means mind. There's a knot in the heart in terms of ignorance. And the knot of ignorance which contributes for the so many knots. Okay, such as adhyasa, adhyaropa. Because of ignorance, there is a erroneous self-perception. There's erroneous, because of erroneous self-perception, and there's a superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma, because of which there is a wrong notion about the self, and because the wrong notion has about the self, then there's a sense of, there's a fundamental problem comes, the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I comes, and because of the fundamental problem, the desire to become free from, desire to become limitless comes, and because of the desire for limitless happiness, and so many other desires come, and because of these desires, not knowing the cause of the desires, impelled by these desires, we simply, helplessly, we involve ourselves in the activities to fulfill those desires. When we perform actions, then karmas produce results, and those results are maybe punyam and papam. And if those punya papams become accumulated, and to exhaust those punya papams, we have to be born again. This is how ignorance becomes the root cause of bondage. It is the ignorance which contributes for our getting tied to this body. Okay? Ajnanam ties you with the body. If ajnanam is not there, then no more tying up with the body. Okay? The two things. That's why when a person resolves his ajnanam and there's no more tying up with the body, videha mukti, then we call it what? Tirukalyanam. Okay? Tirukalyanam is what? Marriage with Bhagavan is what? Marriage with Bhagavan is, you have shifted identity from anatma and you recognize yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. That vision of one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole is real wedding. There's no wedding otherwise. It's absolute wedding. That is why Kalyanam, the most auspicious occasion of seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. Okay, then, first it is said, Hridaya Granthihi Bhidyate. The knot of ignorance is broken. Cut. becomes destroyed. Hridaya granthihi bhidyate. The knot of the heart in terms of ignorance is resolved. Thereby what happens? Once ignorance is resolved, my God, ignorance caused all sorts of doubts, all sorts of queries, all doubts also simultaneously resolve. Sarva samshayaha chidyante. All doubts resolve. Thereby what happens? This all doubts resolve. This person's perspective changes. In the clear vision, perspective changes. There's no more identity with anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Even a wise person, even if he's endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, still he has no identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, in spite of living in this world as an individual, doing one's day-to-day activities also, cognitively this person is very objective. But then what happens? There's no doership and enjoyership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions will resolve. Therefore, this person becomes free from all punya papams. Atma has no sanchita karma. Atma has no agami karma. Atma doesn't have even prarabdha karma. Okay, Atma is absolutely free from all karmas. So as long as ignorance is there, as long as one has doership and enjoyership, relatively one has sanchita karma, agami karma, parabdha karma, etc. If the person's identity is shifted from anatma to atma, is no more enjoyership and doership, means where is the karma? You are not even a doer. How can you have the result of the action? If you are not the doer, how can you have the result of the action? How can you be the enjoyer of the results? No, you are neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Therefore, you are free from all punya papams. Therefore, asya karmani kshiyante means what? Karmani means all his sanchita karmas become resolved. Means what? They disappear. There is no karma for him. So understanding the fact that there is no karma for Atma is what? There is no karma for Atma. I am Atma. I am free from karma. Understanding this fact is freeing oneself from bondage of karma. You know that? Understanding the fact that I am absolutely free from karma is in fact becoming free from bondage of karma. You really do not become free. Okay? You're already free. Discovering the fact that you're already free is becoming free. Yes, no? So, asya karmani kshiyante means all his karmas become resolved for good. Karmas do not become exhausted. All the karmas become resolved. All the karmas become resolved for good. Therefore, this person is jivan muktaha. As long as parabdha karma is there, he is a jivan mukta. When the parabdha karma is exhausted, he becomes videha muktaha. Then he remains one with Bhagavan. He remains as Bhagavan, as the truth. And body becomes disintegrated. Subtle body becomes resolved. And he remains as the Atma. That's all. This is the literal meaning of the verse. So, tasmin paravare drishte, when the truth is discovered, then hridaya granthihi bhidyate. First benefit. Second benefit. Sarva samshayaha chidyante. Second benefit. Third benefit. Asya karmani kshiyante. Okay. This is the literal meaning. Okay. So here, how can we have this clear, ascertained, doubt-free vision of the reality? Tasmin paravare drishte. It's a big kind. When the truth is claimed as one's own surupam. Okay. Seeing that when the paravare drishte means what? When a person claims the reality of the whole jagat as one's own essential nature, as the truth of I, in terms of aham brahma asmi, it is when, then, Okay, then this benefit a person can enjoy. How can one attain this? Okay. So what Shastram says, if a person is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, thereby he is given to the practice of listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the Upanishad systematically for length of time, regularly. See, regularly listening. No, once in a month, once in a year, once in satsang, no? People wait for Adimasam. Because Adimasam, weddings are not there in Ashadamasam. So all the marriage halls are free. And some Upanyasaka will come and do some Katha Kalakshepam. And people will go and listen. That's all satsang they have. No, that's fine. That is, something is better than nothing. But here, what Shastram says, Shravanam, doing the Shravana means, if you're so keen to have that clear vision, one must be given to the discipline of listening to the subject matter of the Upanishads, unfoldment of the subject matter of the Upanishads, without feeling tired and bored repeatedly. In fact, repeatedly being able to listen itself needs maturity. Same thing from every day, same subject matter is taught. You will feel bored. In fact, it takes certain maturity to understand even why the teaching is, same thing is repeated also. It takes certain maturity and understanding to see that why the subject matter is like this. Anyway, if a person is given to the discipline of listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Shastram systematically, regularly, you know, without any discontinuity, continuously for length of time, then that is an important discipline. Not only that, and that teaching one must also, what he is listening, he must be reflecting upon what he is listening also. And when he is repeatedly reflecting upon the teaching, the doubts may arise, and repeatedly reflecting upon the teaching will help him resolve the doubts also. And the Shravanam and the Mananam are two disciplines which a student must do with the help of the teacher. And when, after going through these two disciplines, Shravanam and Mananam, see, Mananam can be done simultaneously. For length of time, one must do Shravanam. A person is redoing this Shravanam, it becomes a Mananam. It's not once. Then what happens? And without the help of the teacher, if a person has a clear understanding, doubt-free understanding, then one can dwell upon constantly what one has clearly understood doubtlessly. That is called a Nididhyasanam, contemplation. That is why Vedantic meditation means it is contemplation only. Contemplation presupposes one having clear, doubt-free understanding of the nature of reality, obtaining as one's own swarupam. Unless a person has gone through the discipline of Shravanam and Mananam, how can one have the clear vision of the truth? If a person does not have a clear understanding of the teaching, how can one dwell upon the teaching? Therefore, Nididhyasanam is said to be Swarupa Anusandhanam. Swarupa Anusandhanam means what? Constantly dwelling upon, meditating upon the reality obtaining as one's own nature. Thereby, the meditator is, I am the meditator, I dwell upon my own essential nature. Therefore, in this contemplation, which is a meditation, there is no meditator-meditated difference. Object of meditation is my own swarupam, and I am the meditator myself. Therefore, there is no subject-object division in this meditation in terms of contemplation. Nididhyasanam. And this, when a person is involved in this, of course, it will doubtlessly bless a person with the ascertained, unforgettable, ever-remembered vision of one's own self. And with this vision, even if a person is involved in day-to-day activities, because as long as Parabdha is there, this body will be there. As long as his body is there, one must take care of one's body. So maintenance of body involves what transaction with the world. So living this world, involving oneself in day-to-day activities. In spite of all that also, the person can be objective. That objectivity is knowledge. Objectivity is freedom, knowledge is objectivity. So he becomes a person of objectivity in spite of involving himself in transactions, experiences, day-to-day activities, still the person is free. He is not affected by anything. So, that individual, okay, the individuality becomes cognitively resolved in the totality, that is Bhagavan. I am an individual is a notion, erroneous notion, misconception entertained in the mind because of the ignorance. This ignorance caused the erroneous notion that I am an individual is said to be what? The not. Okay, I'll tell you again. I am an individual. So because I do not know, when a person is ignorant, naturally not knowing one's own essential nature, not knowing what he is, the I becomes identified with the body, mind, sense complex. Thereby, the person mistakes oneself to be an individual. I am an individual is a notion. It's an erroneous notion. It's a misconception entertained in the form of a thought in the mind. And this wrong notion one entertains about oneself as an individual is known as not. Is a granthihi, hridaya granthihi. Of course, this notion is what? Expression of ignorance. And this not alone, otherwise it be what? Ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? Erroneous notion. One entertains about oneself, having wrong identity with the body, mind, sense complex, because of ignorance of one's own essential nature is said to be ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? Please understand, ahankaraha does not mean pride. Okay? Pride is an expression of ahankara. Arrogance is expression of ahankara. Superiority complex, inferiority complexes are expressions of ahankara. But what is ahankara? Ahankara is an erroneous notion, misconception one entertains about one's own self in terms of I am an individual, having identity with anatma, body, mind, sense complex, because of ignorance of one's essential nature. This is what is called ahankara. It's a clean, beautiful definition of ahankara. Okay? This ahankara is the not. Why ahankara is said to be the not? Because of this ahankara, the erroneous notion that I am an individual having wrong perception of the self is what now results in many connections. Ahankara alone contributes for what? Other connections. If you think I am an individual, then you can say what? Mamakara also comes. Ahankara is I sense. I sense identified with the body, mind, sense complex. Thereby, entertainment of the notion that I am an individual is ahankara. And this ahankara results in many other connections. It contributes for the mamakara. Mamakara means sense of possession. I sense contributes for the my sense. If there's no I sense, how can there be my sense? Mamakaraha. Ahankarena mamakaraha. Mamakaraha means sense of possession. My sense. I sense and my sense. Sense of possession. Sense of belonging. And once ahankara results in my sense, then what happens? My family, my children, my husband, my wife, my house, my place, mine. Nothing wrong. Very natural. But how ahankara leads to mamakara? So, this ahankaraha and mamakaraha are notions, the sense of this I sense and my sense are in the form of thoughts in the mind only. There's no I sense and my sense outside. I sense and my sense exist in one's own mind. Therefore, it is said to be what? Not of the mind. Okay? I sense is not on the... There's no I sense in the body. There's no I sense in outside. I sense is in the mind. Therefore, it is said to be the not of the mind. And that, when the clear vision of what I am, in the wake of the knowledge, hridaya granthihi vidyate. Okay? That vidyate means what? That that not becomes resolved. That not goes away. It not disappears. Thereby what happens? That is when anahankaraha, ahankara goes and this the I am an individual, that notion goes. I am the whole, that vision. There is the vision of the fact that I am the whole. I am an individual is a wrong notion. I am the whole is a vision of the fact. Notion goes, vision is. Vision is of the fact, notion is of expression of ignorance. Thereby, that is when the person becomes what? Nirmamaha, nirahankaraha. So, as long as there is individuality, as long as strong notion that I am an individual, because of wrong identity and wrong erroneous perception, and there will be strong my sense also, as long as ahankara makara are there, there is helplessly one is tied to the body mind sense complex, which is bondage. Samsara will be definitely there. Once this ahankara becomes resolved, mamakara also will become resolved. In clear vision, where is the I? There's no I other than the truth. There's no individuality. There's no individual. Absolutely, there's no individual. If there can't be a sense of possession also, then what happens? Once this ahankara resolves, means doership goes, enjoyership goes, sense of possession also resolves, then all the karmas, my God, you know, all the karmas will resolve for good. You don't give up anything. It's exactly like what? You mistake the rope for a snake and you think there is a snake, and that snake, because of erroneous perception of the snake, there's a fear. And you do all sorts of things to get rid of the fear. You do so many things to do get rid of the fear. All the efforts are vain. The fear doesn't go away at all. But the fear disappears. You don't need to chase away the fear. Fear resolves when you understand there is no rope at all. No, there's no fear, snake at all. The fear disappears when? When you find out the fact there's no snake at all. And for you to see there's no snake at all, you must see what is this rope. Similarly, when you discover what you are, you'll see you are not even a doer or enjoyer. Therefore, if all karmas resolve, like how the fear disappears along with the disappearance of the snake in the very rope. Similarly, all Sanchita Agami Parabdha karmas resolve along with the notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, in the wake of clear vision of that you are the Atma. Okay. Then you are a Jeevan Muktaha. Then Vidyate Hridaya Granthihi means what? Vidyate Hridaya Granthihi implies one becomes free from Ahankaraha and Mamakaraha, all wrong notions about the self and the world resolves. Mamakara is also what? There's a wrong perception of the self also, world also. The error in the perception of the self and the world resolves. This is what is said to be Hridaya Granthi Bhedanam, resolution of the knot of the ignorance, knot of the heart. Then, all that is, there is only the truth. There is no second thing other than the truth. Means, other than the reality, everything is mithya. Then what happened? All the doubts resolve. What all the doubts resolve? Why? First of all, you understand this Bhagavan, world, Jiva, everything one and the same. In the clear vision of this fact, then you will not ask anymore. What is the question? What is there is only Bhagavan. The whole world is appearance of Bhagavan. There's no really world. Absolutely, there's no Jagat. The world is relatively there. Absolutely, there's no world. What is only Bhagavan. What only Brahma. The Ishvara is Brahma, Jagat is Brahma, Jiva is Brahma, everything is Brahma means. Then we will you ask the question afterwards. Why did Bhagavan create the universe? When did Bhagavan create the universe? Why Bhagavan is so partial? Why there is food? All these doubts, questions will resolve. So Vedanta will not answer your questions. In the clear vision of Vedanta, the questions will resolve. There's a big doubt, okay? Having the questions resolved is as good as having got the answer for the questions. Isn't it? Sarva samshayaha chidyante. This is the second benefit. So, vidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshayaha asya karmani kshiyante. Third benefit. Karmani kshiyante. All, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions are not there means, all punya papa must become resolved for good. Okay? No more doership and enjoyership, therefore, you will say, I have Sanchita karma, I am exhausting Paradha karma, I am accumulating Agami karma, and I had to be born again, exhaust my Paradha karma, all this will resolve. When did you do karma for you to earn punya papam? So, no, I've been a sinner. Yes. It's all notion. I am a sinner is a notion. I'm a punyavan, I'm papi. Both are notions. I have punyam, I have papam. It's all notions. In the clear vision of the truth, in claiming the reality as one's own self and seeing the whole world being non-different from the truth and seeing Bhagavan as the truth, seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, the truth, one can enjoy these three benefits. Okay? Ahankara goes, Mamakara goes, thereby, all that is, there is only Jagat, there is no Ishwara, there is no Jagat, there is no Jiva other than the reality. And that reality alone is revered, given the status, looked upon as Bhagavan for us. Okay? We do not say there's no Ishvara. We say there's no Ishvara other than the truth. That is why we bow to Bhagavan, means Bhagavan is the very truth for us. In fact, worshipper worshipped division, difference. Devotee, deity, difference. Bhakta Bhagavan Bhedaha will resolve in the clear vision of the truth. In fact, bhakti should culminate in the clear vision of one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan, the truth. So this is the benefit. With this, this mantra is completed. So hridaya granthihi bibhidyate sarva samshayaha kshiyante. No, sarva samshayaha chidyante. Sarva karmani kshiyante. Hridaya granthihi bidyate sarva samshayaha chidyante. Sarva karmani kshiyante. When tasmin paravare drishte. What is paravaram? Paravaram is Brahma. Paravaram Brahma. Let me tell you what is paravaram. See, Brahman is only one thing I have to tell you. In the Upanishad class is over today. Okay. Para means, para stands for the teacher. Avara stands for the disciple. In this verse, okay. Paraha, teacher, avaraha, disciple. Parena avaraya. Paravara vidya means the knowledge which is handed over by the teacher to the disciple. The knowledge which is imparted by the teacher to the disciple, parat avaraya diyamana vidya. The knowledge which is bestowed, given, imparted by the teacher to the student is called paravara vidya. Parat avaraya diyamana vidya, paravara vidya. And paravaram Brahma, when you say, this knowledge of paravaram Brahma is also paravara vidya, paravaram jnanam. But here param avaram, the only truth which alone is there as consciousness principle, paraprakriti. The only truth which alone is there as the matter, mithya matter also. Avaram, the only reality which is there as mithya matter. The only truth which is there as a satyam consciousness. The one and the only truth which alone is there as the two orders of reality. That only truth is Brahma, paravaram Brahma. When a person discovers that absolute, ultimate, absolute reality, ultimate truth, which is implied by the term paravaram Brahma, then that person becomes free from bondage of karma while living in this world, jivan mukta. Thereby he attains videha mukti also when the parabdha gets exhausted. Okay. Even though parabdha is there for a jnani, but jnani is not affected by parabdha. Jnani is not affected. He will be objective towards all the parabdha experiences he has because of the parabdha karma phalam. But he will be objective towards them, so he will not be affected by parabdha karma phalam. Is it clear? Now, the Upanishad class is over. It means this lesson is finished. Today is an auspicious day. Let me give you brief, let me introduce the next chapter so I can stop the class. See, the Mundaka Upanishad consists of three parts. പ്രഥമ മുണ്ടക്കം, ദ്വിതീയ മുണ്ടക്കം, ആൻഡ് തൃതീയ മുണ്ടക്കം. ആൻഡ് ഈച്ച് മുണ്ടക്കം, ഈച്ച് പാർട്ട് കൺസിസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ടു സെക്ഷൻസ്. സോ നൗ വി ഹാവ് കംപ്ലീറ്റഡ് ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് മുണ്ടക്കം കൺസിസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഓഫ് ടു സെക്ഷൻസ് ആൻഡ് സെക്കൻഡ് മുണ്ടക്കം കൺസിസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഓഫ് ടു സെക്ഷൻസ്. ഇൻ ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് മുണ്ടക്കം, ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് സെക്ഷൻ ഇൻട്രൊഡ്യൂസസ് ദി ടീച്ചിങ് ബോത്ത് പരാവിദ്യ ആൻഡ് അപരാവിദ്യ. സെക്കൻഡ് സെക്ഷൻ ഓഫ് പ്രഥമ മുണ്ടക്കം ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഓൺലി അപരാവിദ്യ എലാബറേറ്റ്ലി. ആൻഡ് സെക്കൻഡ് മുണ്ടക്കം ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഓൺലി പരാവിദ്യ എലാബറേറ്റ്ലി. ദ ഹോൾ സെക്കൻഡ് മുണ്ടക്കം ഇസ് ഡെഡിക്കേറ്റഡ് ഫോർ ദി അൺഫോൾഡ്മെന്റ് ഓഫ് ദി പരാവിദ്യ. പരാവിദ്യ ഇസ് ദി മെയിൻ സബ്ജക്ട് മാറ്റർ ഓഫ് ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ഹോൾ ഓഫ് ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ. ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് സെക്ഷൻ the reality was discussed as the jagat karanam. In the second section, tatastha lakshanam was discussed, presented in the first chapter, first section. In the second section, swaroopa lakshanam, essential nature of the reality, was discussed in the second section. So every individual is of two aspects. There is the material aspect and the spiritual aspect. And between the two, which should be taken as the content of I? It means, which one should I be associated with? Which one should be taken as the content of I? Well, the physical material aspect or the consciousness aspect. That is where Shastra teaches, yeah, this is the nature of the material aspect, this is the nature of the spiritual aspect or consciousness. So once you clearly you see, choicelessly you have to see your identity being identity with the consciousness only. We are entering into the third chapter. In this third chapter, Tritiya Mundakam, Upanishad actually winds up the subject matter, winds up the teaching by consolidating the teaching. Okay? Upanishad presents the consolidation of the whole teaching. Thereby, it concludes the teaching in the third chapter. So, if we take the in the third Mundakam also, we have two sections. And in these two sections, Upanishad presents four topics. In two sections of the third Mundakam, Upanishad presents four topics. And what are the four topics? Not nothing new. What you have already clearly understood, that's going to be discussed for reinforcement and for consolidation of what you have already understood. Okay, the main four topics are essential nature of the individual. The first topic, essential nature of the individual, Jeevaswarupam forms the first topic. Jeevatma, Jeevaswarupam. Jeevaswarupam should be the essential nature of the individual should be understood as what? Essential nature of one's own self. My own essential nature. Understanding the essential nature of the individual is nothing but understanding what I am. Understanding what I, the first person singular pronoun I is. This is the first topic of the, I told you the four topics are presented in two sections of the third chapter. The first topic is you will understand your own nature. And Pooja Swamiji's words, what? It is the philosophical postmortem of you. The doctors have their own way of doing postmortem. And here, philosophical postmortem, which you don't do with any knife and things, is a cognitive philosophical postmortem that you cut and throw everything away and you intellectually arriving at your own essential nature. Okay. Then second topic discussed is, so essential nature is presented. Essential nature, the individual, is discussed in the first, as the first topic. Then knowledge of the essential nature of individual is the second subject matter. The second topic discussed is what? Knowledge of the essential nature of the individual. So, Jivatma Swarupam forms the first topic. Jivatma Swarupa Jnanam forms the second topic. So, Jivatma Swarupa Jnanam means Atma Jnanam. Jivatma Swarupa Jnanam is Atma Jnanam. Essential nature of the individual forms a subject matter, the first topic. Knowledge of the essential nature of the individual forms the second topic. And this knowledge of the essential nature of the individual alone is what actually knowledge of the essential nature of the whole also. Therefore, this Atma Swarupa Jnanam or Jivatma Swarupa Jnanam is what? Param Jnanam or Paravidya. In the presence of this Jnanam, life becomes a joy. In the absence of this, if this knowledge is not there, then life becomes a misery. Okay. The third topic discussed is the benefit of the knowledge of this Jivatma Swarupam. We can say benefit of the Atma Jnanam. Atma Swarupa Jnana Phalam, the benefit of the knowledge of the essential nature of the self. Not the benefit of the knowledge of the essential nature of the self forms the third topic. We can say Jivan Muktihi, being the benefit of knowledge, is discussed. Of course, Jivan Mukti will result in Videha Mukti also. And the fourth topic we are going to see, the disciplines. The fourth Upanishad teaching, after completing the whole teaching, Upanishad again wants to emphasize the important disciplines to be followed in order to attain this knowledge. So, Atma Jnana Sadhanani means what? The disciplines one must go through, one must follow in order to attain this jnanam. So those disciplines required, disciplines to be followed for the attainment of jnanam, forms the fourth topic of this third section, the third chapter. Okay, these are the four topics. And what are those disciplines? We know very well, definitely, Karma Yoga, ഉപാസനം ആൻഡ് ജ്ഞാനയോഗ, ത്രീ ഡിസിപ്ലിൻസ്. ഇൻഫാക്ട് ഉപാസനം ഓൾസോ പൂജ്യ സ്വാമിജി ഓൾവേസ് പ്രിഫേഴ്സ് ഇൻക്ലൂഡിംഗ് ഉപാസനം ഇൻ കർമ്മയോഗ ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ്. വി കെൻ സേ കർമ്മയോഗ ആൻഡ് ജ്ഞാനയോഗ ആർ ദ ടു ഡിസിപ്ലിൻസ് വിച്ച് എവറി ഇൻഡിവിജ്വൽ ഷുഡ് ഗോ ത്രൂ സീക്വൻഷ്യലി. One must go through the discipline of Karma Yoga in order to prepare one's mind for the attainment of Jnanam. Then one must go through the discipline of Jnana Yoga to attain Jnanam. One must attain Jnanam for Moksha. This is the order. So what is Karma Yoga? One must understand what is Karma Yoga in order to go through the discipline of Karma Yoga. So going through the discipline of Karma Yoga implies living the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. And going through the discipline of Jnana Yoga implies going through studying the Shastram. Going to the study, going to the discipline of Jnana Yoga means studying the Shastram, involving three steps, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Okay, so in this following two sections constituting one chapter called Third Mundakam presents these four topics. In fact, Atma Swarupa Jnanam, Atma Swarupa Jnana Phalam, Atma Jnana Sadhanani. These are the four topics which form the contents of the following two chapters, which we will see in next class. Let us read the mantras once and we can stop. ആവിസന്നിഹിതം ഗുഹാചരൻ നാമ മഹത്പദമത്രൈതത് സമർപ്പിതം ഏജത് പ്രാണൻ നിമിഷച്ച യദേതത് ജാനഥ തദസദ്വരേണ്യം പരം വിജ്ഞാനാദ്യദ്വരിഷ്ഠം പ്രജാനാം യദർച്ചിമദ്യദണുഭ്യോണുച യസ്മിൻ ലോകാ നിഹിതാ ലോകിനശ്ച യത്തദേതദക്ഷരം ബ്രഹ്മ സപ്രാണസ്തദുവാങ്മനഃ തദേതത് സത്യം തദമൃതം തദ്വേദ്ധവ്യം സോമ്യ വിദ്ധി ധനുർഗൃഹീത്വാ ഉപനിഷദം മഹാസ്ത്രം ശരം ഹ്യുപാസാനിഷിതം സന്ധയീത ആയമ്യ തദ്ഭാവഗതേന ചേതസാ ലക്ഷ്യം തദേവാക്ഷരം സോമ്യ വിദ്ധി പ്രണവോ ധനുശരീരോ ഹ്യാത്മാ പ്രണവോധനുശരോഹ്യാത്മാ ബ്രഹ്മ തല്ലക്ഷ്യമുച്യതേ അപ്രമത്തേന വേദ്ധവ്യം ശരവത്തന്മയോ ഭവേത് യസ്മിൻ ദ്യൗഃ പൃഥിവീ ചാന്തരിക്ഷം ഓതം മനസ്സഹ പ്രാണിശ്ച സർവൈഃ തമേവൈകം ജാനഥ ആത്മാനം അന്യഥാ അന്യാ വാചോ വിമുഞ്ചഥ അമൃതസ്യൈഷ സേതുഃ അര ഇവ രഥനാഭോ സംഹതാ യത്ര നാഡ്യഃ സയേഷോന്തശ്ചരതേ ബഹുധാ ജായമാനഃ ഓമിത്യേവം ധ്യായത ആത്മാനം സ്വസ്തി വഃ പാരായ തമസഃ പരസ്താത് യഃ സർവജ്ഞഃ സർവവിത് യസ്യൈഷ മഹിമാ ഭുവി ദിവ്യേ ബ്രഹ്മപുരേ ഹേഷ വ്യോമ്യാത്മാ പ്രതിഷ്ഠിതഃ മനോമയഃ പ്രാണശരീരനേതാ പ്രതിഷ്ഠിതോന്നേ ഹൃദയം സന്നിധായ തദ്വിജ്ഞാനേന പരിപശ്യന്തി ധീരാഃ ആനന്ദരൂപമൃതം യദ്വിഭാതി ഭിദ്യതേ ഹൃദയഗ്രന്ഥിഃ ഛിദ്യന്തേ സർവസംശയാഃ ക്ഷീയന്തേ ചാസ്യ കർമാണി തസ്മിൻ ദൃഷ്ടേ പരാവരേ ഹിരൺമയേ പരേ കോശേ വിരജം ബ്രഹ്മ നിഷ്കലം തച്ഛുഭ്രം ജ്യോതിഷാം ജ്യോതിഃ തദ്യദാത്മവിദോ വിദുഃ തത്ര സൂര്യോ ഭാതി ചന്ദ്രതാരകം നേമാ വിദ്യുതോ ഭാന്തി കൃതോയമഗ്നിഃ തമേവ ഭാന്തമനുഭാതി സർവം തസ്യ ഭാസാ സർവമിദം വിഭാതി ബ്രഹ്മൈവേദമൃതം. பிரம்மைவேதமம்ருதம் புரஸ்தாத் பிரம்ம பஷ்சாத் பிரம்ம தக்ஷிணதஸ்சோத்தரேண அதஸ்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் பிரம்மைவேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம் இதி முண்டகோபநிஷதி த்விதீய முண்டகே த்விதீய கண்டஹ. ஓகே. ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.